Please be seated. After having returned from the graveside, we are here in this sanctuary to find comfort from the Word of God concerning the death of your dear mother, your grandmother, your aunt, our sister in Christ, and our friend, our late sister, Nancy Youngerden. Her consistent testimony, both by what she said and the way that she lived, will have an impact on us for many years to come. And while she was limited in her ability to communicate the last couple of years, she has repeatedly testified of her hope in the Lord and her trust in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can be comforted with this truth and knowing that the one who trusts in Jesus shall never die. Let us come before God in prayer. Gracious and eternal God and Father, we come into your holy presence in this morning hour, and we come into your presence, O Lord, knowing that just recently our dear loved one, Nancy Youngerden, has been taken from us to be with you. And we know that for her to live was Christ, and therefore to die was gain. That she has gained a heavenly inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away. And we know that her death is precious in your sight. It is precious because you now have our dear sister to be in full fellowship with you in her eternal home. And that communion that you have with your people in eternity is precious to you, for it is, O Lord, a fruit of the work of our Lord Jesus, that he has accomplished his work in her. He has brought it to completion, and so that she might be in your presence and that you might fellowship with her. And Lord, as we think of the preciousness of her death in your sight, then we are humbled that you have also been with us in this time as we've journeyed through this. And we pray, Lord, that you be with us through this service as well. Be with all the loved ones, with the children, but also the grandchildren, and all who loved her dearly. Grant comfort to us. And Lord, we pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, we sing now from which are listed in your program. First, we sing the Lord's My Shepherd. The Lord's My Shepherd, you find it in your program. And then secondly, we sing Psalter 202, In Doubt and Temptation. So there's two songs. The first one's in your program. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And then immediately following that, we will sing from Psalter 202, In Doubt and Temptation.
Thank you.
Congregation, hear now these words of comfort from the Scriptures, or as they are summarized for us in our confessions. There are more than one occasion that I reflected on Lord's Day 1 with your mother, which summarizes the gospel of hope on days like today. The question there is asked, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer, that I'm not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. And that's what gave your loved one such comfort in her days. And further, the Lord has taught us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in that same passage, he outlines the way of eternal life, which your loved one knew so well when Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we have the comfort to know that your dear mother, your grandmother, our sister in the Lord and our friend, was one who knew of this life in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asks. That's a question that the Lord Jesus asks of you today, too. Do you believe this? Do you believe what the Bible teaches concerning Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation? Do you believe that when you trust in him that you will have eternal life? Believing on the Lord Jesus gives everlasting life. And that's why our catechism expresses this Christian hope in the face of death when it asks, what comfort do you receive from the article about life everlasting, to which it answers, since I now already feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life possess perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, a blessedness in which to praise God forever. That is the blessedness which your loved one is now enjoying, singing to the praise of God. And further, we've come here this morning to know of the victory over sin. Sin has lost its sting, and so death too has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And John, in speaking of the blessedness of eternity, which awaits all the people of God, he says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then we have the hope for the future of the return of our Lord Jesus. When we read that God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, and we who are alive with him, we shall, at the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, the apostle says, comfort one another with these words. Let us now sing, as in your program, Amazing Grace, and then secondly, It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen.
Congregation, we turn in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23, and we will read the entire psalm. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Congregation, we again sing from Safe in the Arms of Jesus, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we pray that your word would be applied to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Lord, they are but words, but when your Spirit uses them in the hearts of your people and in the hearts of sinners, then we know that they are powerfully applied, effectually used to change and transform them, to bring them to salvation and to build them up in that salvation. Lord, we pray for a blessing upon the word of God, that it would be effectually and powerfully used. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Dear family and friends, congregation, we are confronted with the fact of our sister's passing. And while the death of your dear mother and your grandmother and your aunt and friend and our sister was not unexpected in many ways, there is always a certain shock when a loved one is taken away. We are forced to think soberly because we are confronted with the reality that there is a separation that has come because of man's fall into sin. And this will imply changes for the whole family because she is no longer present here with us. When I think of the changes that you will experience, I think I'm correct in saying this, it's probably true that Marie will especially have the most changes in her life. Mom's lived with you for so long, and then you visit her so faithfully in the hospital. It was rare that I went there that she wasn't there, and it made me think how often she had must have been there to coincide with the times I was there. And I'm not saying this because the others in the family weren't faithful in visiting, but I think that Marie was there all the time, and that most certainly will leave an empty spot in your life. Your mother was a very special lady. She loved people. She had many people in her home as long as she was able, and then as long as she was able after that, she would visit people in their homes. And so it must have been hard for her when she was the one who needed visiting. Rather than providing it for others, she became the recipient of others who came to visit her. But she learned what true joy is in the kingdom, which is serving others and serving her Savior. Now, Psalm 23 was very special to her simply because I think it described her relationship to the Lord. And we will focus in this service on the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, who would not like to say that in times of trouble, when walking, as the psalm speaks of, through the valley of the shadow of death, to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Who doesn't want to be led in the green pastures or beside the still waters? And who doesn't want to be led to that place where we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You see, there are rich privileges to having the Lord as one shepherd. Now, we can know of the shepherd's comfort also today. And we can know of this comfort in two ways from our text. First, the intimate relationship with the shepherd. And secondly, the satisfying relationship with the shepherd. The shepherd's comfort, an intimate relationship, a satisfying relationship. We read at the beginning of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we are confronted with the reality that David was one who knew God as his shepherd. He speaks very personally. It speaks of a personal relationship. And so this psalm, it begins with this note of assurance, which your mom also had and knew. You see, it's a great thing, isn't it, to have personal assurance in the Christian life. Now, this personal assurance of David is not ill-founded. He knows the shepherd. And he knows that he knows him. It's possible, too, that someone's a Christian and can go on without always knowing for certain. Certain people seem to lack sometimes Christian assurance. And what is visible to others is often blind to themselves. But it's a great blessing in not only knowing the Lord as our shepherd, but also to know that you know him. And so that you can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so one of the purposes in speaking to you about the shepherd is not only that you will know something about him, as glorious as that is, but that you would know him personally as your shepherd. The goal is to, if you're not there already, to bring you to the point where you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. How can we know that we know him? How can we be assured that not only that the Lord is a shepherd, but that the Lord is my shepherd? Your mom knew that, didn't she? She knew the shepherd, and she knew that she knew him. And this most certainly is comforting to us in these days, isn't it? This has been comforting through the last few years when she was in the Bradley Center. And now that's a comfort for you after she's died. You see, this psalm, it ultimately speaks, doesn't it, of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 10, verse 27, we hear that the Lord Jesus describes this intimate relationship that he has with his sheep. Because he says there, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. So how do you know if you know him? How do you know if you're one of the sheep? Because this is critical, you see, to experience this comfort that God provides. Well, do you hear his voice? My sheep, Jesus says, they hear my voice. And he's not just talking about hearing the voice of Christ. And we do hear the voice of the Lord Jesus through the preaching of the gospel, through the reading of the scriptures. He speaks through his word, doesn't he? But it's not just speaking about hearing it audibly with our ears, but that these truths would resound in our own hearts. Has the invitation of the gospel that Jesus gives so frequently, has it resonated with you? Has it come to you with power as you heard him speak, perhaps through the preaching of the gospel, and you heard this word? And has he become precious to you so that you are able to confess with David, the Lord, he is my shepherd? You see, it's such a hearing that results in following him. It means to trust him. It means to obey him. It means to love him and to serve him. You see, that's the difference between one who is in the flock and one who is outside the flock. The ones who are outside the flock, they may hear the words, but they don't follow the shepherd. And so they have no relationships, no saving relationship with the shepherd. My sheep, they hear my voice and follow me, says Christ. So if you're in the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have responded to this call of the gospel. And when you hear the great shepherd and you hear his words, then your heart is warmed, isn't it? Then your life is inspired. And his words then are like sweet drops of honey on your tongue. And his words, they warm your heart and they make you glad. And you love to hear from Christ. You love to hear of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners, and you're constrained by that love to serve him and to follow after him. But it means then you have come to that point where you have recognized your need of the shepherd. You've been convicted of your sin. And therefore, you fled to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that in him there is forgiveness. That's how we're to respond to this gracious call to follow him. And you understand what this means? It means that if you're following the shepherd, it means that you're being led by the shepherd. You're under his sovereign hand. You're under his direction. It means you follow after him all your life, and that your desire is to live not in accordance with some, but all the commandments of God. It doesn't mean we do that perfectly, but most certainly our heart's desire is to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord and to live in accordance with his word. If that desire is not present, then we are not following after Christ, are we? And then we have not responded to the call that he's given to us. That's the way it is, isn't it? That's what happens when one is a Christian. They are under the power of God. They are under the direction and the leadership of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And you love to be then one of the sheep. And it's the shepherd who guides us in the course of life. So as you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you completely trust in him to lead you, don't you? And that brings us to the second point of this text, that not only does it speak of an intimate relationship, it speaks of a most satisfying relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a satisfying relationship. I shall not want. Well, you see, that means we can rest confidently in God's care over us. You know, when a sheep when one of the sheep is under the care of a shepherd and trust the shepherd. They don't worry about where they will graze tomorrow. They don't worry about where they will spend the winter. They will follow the shepherd. Yes, not only to the green pastures and the still waters, but they will even follow the shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. They will follow the shepherd through every difficult trial and trouble and tribulation, because you trust and you rest in the shepherd. But not only do you follow him because you recognize that all things come from him and that he provides you with all things you need for your body and your soul, but you love to be in his presence. That's the way it is, isn't it? It means when we are in Christ, then we are restless and unsatisfied and discontent when we are not in the shepherd's presence. That's why, as we reflected last night in the funeral home, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul spoke of his desire to be with Christ, he says, which is far better. Why would he say that? How could he say that? Because it was his hope, his desire to be in the very presence of Christ. We are restless and we are dissatisfied and we are discontent away from the shepherd, and no activity and no other pleasure, no other comfort can substitute for the shepherd's care and provision for us. You see, being part of the flock means you desire to be with him because you love him. You desire to be in his presence. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. A couple who is in love simply want to be in the presence of the other. It doesn't really matter what you're doing, doesn't it? Your satisfaction comes from being near to each other, whether it's walking beside the Vedder River or sitting together for a meal or just relaxing together. It doesn't really matter because you are in this intimate relationship in which you are satisfied simply to be in the presence of the shepherd. And that's why David cries out in another psalm, "My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God." You see, when one follows the shepherd, they have an unquenchable desire, and that desire can only be satisfied by Christ. And being satisfied in him means that you love to hear him through the preaching of the word. You love to gather in the house of the Lord. For David says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And so the shepherd is the one who provides us with our wants. Well, that's not exactly what it means, is it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And want has a whole new definition today, doesn't it? We want things. But that's not what it means. It means that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any good thing. The Lord will provide me with every good thing. And if he does not provide me with something, then we can be assured that it's not good that we should have it. Because he's a capable manager of the flock, you see. If we have a bad shepherd, there would be want. There would be needs that exist among the flock. A shepherd is one who's able to assess his flock accurately and fully and is able to provide each individual lamb or each individual member of the flock with exactly what he or she needs. And that's what he does with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But maybe some of you are following after an imposter. An imposter. The Lord Jesus, he speaks of those who do not hear his voice and do not follow after him. Well, that means they are following after someone else or something else. And a hired servant, as the Lord Jesus says, does not care for the well-being of the flock. You see, the well-being of the flock, the welfare of the flock is dependent upon the management, upon the abilities, upon the wisdom of the shepherd. And when there's a bad shepherd, then the sheep suffer. They have a lack of most basic requirements. They lack green grass and they lack fresh water and shade from the summer sun and protection from the winter's cold. And what's the problem with these sheep? Why don't they have enough food? Why aren't they satisfied? Why don't they have water? Why don't they have shelter from the weather? Well, they're following the wrong shepherd. You see, this is precisely the picture of that wretched old taskmaster, Satan and sin. Because those in the grip of this heartless and selfish owner, they have terrible want, and they are in agony, and they are always unsatisfied, and they are always suffering want, and he wants them to believe that there are no other shepherds available. He's trying to convince them that he supplies what is best, and he wants them to believe that there's no other way to live but under his shoddy care. Those under Satan's management have never tasted of the contentment and the care and the provision that the Good Shepherd provides. You see, Satan wants us to believe that he will take care of us, but where does he lead us? He leads us to bondage. He leads us to oppression. He leads us to death. But when the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. In contrast to the disappointment, the agony, the want, the lack of those under the shepherd's or the Satan's care, the sheep of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are utterly content, satisfied. And that's the way it was with your loved one, wasn't she? It's not that she didn't experience troubles or trials in her life. It's not that she always got what she, quoted, wanted in a worldly sense. But she most certainly had everything that she needed. David does not want. He does not desire. He's utterly content. What a comfort. What did that contentment, what led to that contentment? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? It means that he provides us with all that we need. What do we need? What do we need more than anything else in the world? What is the best he can give to us? Well, the Father has given his Son. He's given the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and to die for sinners, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord is my shepherd. That's not necessarily a life of ease or a life of tranquility or a life of pleasure. Because anyone who thinks that hasn't read through the rest of the psalm, because there are troubling things that occur here. The psalm speaks of hardship, and the psalm speaks of pain, and the psalm even speaks of discipline of the shepherd. But the satisfaction is what? Is knowing that our sins are completely and fully forgiven by trusting in him, and therefore we are assured of eternal life with him. You see, the shepherd, he delivers us from eternal death. He leads us in the way everlasting, meaning that there is nothing that shall separate us when we have faith in Christ from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we cling to this shepherd, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As believers, we cling to him as we are traveling in our life, and we're completely satisfied in him. We end these few words in the same way that the psalm ends. I always say, well, I've read this passage probably 100 times at pastoral visitation, and I said, the best part of this psalm is the last word. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. You can sense David's excitement, can't you? You can sense how ecstatic he is when he thinks about his eternal home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There seems to be a sense in which David enjoyed heaven before he even got there, but he longed for even more. And that's the way it is with the Lord's people, isn't it? That's the way it is with his sheep. When we are here, we have a certain satisfaction in what he provides us, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of life everlasting. But we long for something even more, don't we? We long to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sheep, when they're after summers grazing in the mountains. This is the way it often is in Scotland and so on. And the weather begins to turn, and the shepherd, he begins to lead the sheep home. The weather is cold and blustery, and they begin to head towards home. And initially, as they begin their journey down the mountain, the sheepdog's goodness and mercy, they have to keep them moving towards the home, don't they? Because they don't know exactly where the shepherd's leading them. But as they get closer, they have this sense of excitement that builds in them. And no longer are they tempted to stray. No longer are they distracted by the sights and sounds around them. But they already see the shepherd already ahead of them, opening the doors of the barn. And they want to be protected from the foul weather. And this is a picture, you see, of God's people at the end of their life. As they come to the end of their life, and as they look forward to entering into their eternal home, they are longing to be there, and they cry out to be there. And even as your mother, even as she was upon her deathbed, it seems, as she opened her arms, it's almost like she was longing to be there. She longed to be with the Lord. And we can be sure then that as she saw the gates of heaven and she saw Christ standing at the door, that she longed to enter in. Because as a sheep nears their home, they are no longer distracted by earthly temptations. They are no longer tempted to stray. But they long to be in the arms of the shepherd. They long to enter into that place where there is no more storms of life and where there might be eternal rest. And so there's no longer the focus of anything around them. They are looking to arrive home. When they see the barn, they are not distracted by those things around them. They travel quickly there. They can smell the hay, you say. And they know there's comfort beyond the doors. There is no storms in the barn. There's only joy and peace. And so they run. And that's the picture that David gives us in these final verses. Christians leave behind this temporal home. They don't think about their cars, their houses, their bank accounts, their furniture, their possessions anymore. When they lay there on their bed at the end, they're there without all those things. They fade in the background and they speak no longer of them. They simply focus upon that life which is to come. No more bills or mortgages or cars or vacations or... And even at a certain point, no more spouse or children. Just the presence of the shepherd. No more enemies. No more dark valleys. No more storms. Drinking from the river of water, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Eating of the tree of life and sitting at the banqueting table of the shepherd, feasting on his provisions. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Let us sing the hymn that's in your program, How Great Thou Art, and following which we will have words from the family.
I would like to thank everyone on behalf of the family that you are part of this service. En ook alle vrienden en familie in Nederland die naar deze dienst luisteren en met ons meeleven. As we all know, mothers are special in our lives, in a way that is felt very deeply in our hearts. Our mother is no different. Our memories of her are intense and full of much love. I know that Mom would not want us to stand up here saying things that honored her for who she was, but to give honor to the Lord who gave her life and a purpose and strength to be who she needed to be for those around her. That being said, we as family would like to share some special things about our mother, who was the way we knew her. Mom cared deeply about her family, deeply about her children. She prayed for us daily and taught us in the way of her shepherd. She rejoiced with us and she grieved with us at the things which happened in our lives. And she continued to direct each and every one of us to walk in the way of the Lord. In other words, she loved us deeply. We thank the Lord for the very special mother love she gave us. May the eternal truths she taught us guide our lives in grace to live for Him. Mom had a very difficult path to walk already when she was young. She lost an infant brother through an accident. And then her own mother was not well. And with our mom being the oldest daughter, it became her task to look after her mother and the rest of the family during an intensely sad and grieving time in her own life. God was molding her to a life of caring for others. It became a way of living for her. And when her mother passed away, when our mother was only 19, Mom was able to continue to fulfill the task of caring for her father and siblings. Mom was a very dedicated person. When there was a task on her plate, she gave her utmost to do it well. It could be anything from the mundane to the important, but Mom was involved. You knew she was there till the completion of it. She gave her all, whether it was helping our dad run his business, driving Fisher cheese orders to customers for delivery. And when that was here in BC, it meant long distances as far out as Surrey and Vancouver. Mom could keep directions straight in her head. And when in later years you were out driving around far from home, she was absolutely sure. And she was right about which road we had to take back. She gave it her all even when it was cutting onions for Zoutenharing meals for Dad's customers. I can still see how she accurately held that onion just so and cut it into pieces that were perfect, the perfect size for dipping your fish or fries into. She Dutch scrubbed the food counters and cases and then still prepared a good home-cooked meal afterward. Mom made sure she was sitting ready at the table with a cup of coffee when we came home from school. And she would want to know all about your day. How we can see her dedication to her family in that simple routine of being there for us. Mom would work on sewing clothes for her children or herself. And if it seemed that she couldn't fit that time in during the day, then she would stay up in the night and work to get it finished. Mom was always there when it was time to be helping someone clean the house where they were going to move into. And believe you me, there were some very dirty houses she tackled with a set look on her face. You could be sure that when it was time to move in your belongings into your new home, the windows would be shining. Remember those Dutch stookies Mom's loved? And the floors would be cleaned on hands and knees to make it a worthy place to be lived in. And you know, you have to know that Mom didn't worry about breaking a fingernail while she scrubbed, and she worked with bleach until you just about gagged on it. She didn't worry about her sore knees from washing the floor, but she did expect a cup of coffee with a cookie by at regular times. Mom would take the time to visit someone who needed a visit, and many, many times she opened up the family home to someone who needed a place to live, whether it was for a few days or maybe a few years, and the person would become part of the family with all of Mom's love and care poured out on them. After immigrating in 1982, Mom showed her determination to learn to speak English. And so she enrolled in night classes at the college to help her learn the language. She would speak English to her grandchildren, whether there were mistakes in her grammar or not, but she wanted to be involved in their lives, and English was the way to do it. She smiled appreciatively when a grandchild would attempt Dutch sentences and never laughed at anyone for their messy Dutch. She loved a good laugh and could appreciate the fun times she had with the family. One of her favorite food was oude kaas, or aged cheese, and she loved droppies. It was a joy to give her a bag filled with her favorites. But the first thing she would do would be to pass it around for all of us to share. One thing our mother was always very, very strong in the remembrance of someone's birthday or special day. She did not look favorably at you when you were not aware of it, and if it was so-and-so's birthday and you didn't seem to have remembered. She would even sometimes outright ask if you had called the person. To her, the birthday remembrance was an acknowledgement of the life of the person. And because she loved people so much, it was the perfect time to show thankfulness that they were in her life. Mom's love for her family and her interest in their life showed very strongly in her desire to attend every single soccer practice and game that her grandson was involved in, rain or shine, bitterly raining or cooking hot outside. Mom sat patiently in her lawn chair on the soccer sidelines, cheering and waving with the best of them. She would even bring along cheese sticks and munchies for the rest of us. It gave her such a joy to be part of whatever you were involved in. Mom, if able, went to every event her family had, whether it was a birthday celebration, piano recital, a graduation ceremony, or a granddaughter's wedding in Alberta. If there was a music evening, Mom would love it if you would take her along. And her face would shine with the joy of hearing organ or choir music being performed. It is really because of Mom that we did so much singing in this service. One of the most striking examples about Mom's determination to give it her best was the support she gave to her husband and children who were living in a strange land, in a strange new land. A land vastly unlike the close-knit village in Holland, where everyone knew everyone and everybody was involved with each other's lives. Canada seemed big and lonely without her network of extended family and friends. And there were many, many times, as we found out later from Mom herself, that she wept in secret with homesickness for the old country. She didn't tell the family, and she didn't ask to go back to Holland. In this service, where our mother is the reason we are gathered here, because of her passing into glory, the thing our mother would want to be... The thing our mother would want would be shift our attention from herself to the Lord, who had brought her through so much in life. She loved him and wanted her to be her life to be lived for him. When she was widowed in 2007, she was given the grace by her Heavenly Father to keep on going. And though there were times she wept brokenly at home, she tried to stay strong and carry on the task she had called to do without her dear husband. Shortly after Dad's passing, Mom found out she had colon cancer, and there was suffering as she dealt with this difficult turn in life. God was gracious to her in allowing her to eventually be in remission, and then a further trial began with her heart attack in 2015. She was taken to Royal Columbian and spent a month there waiting to have heart surgery. When this was successful, she spent many long weeks, months recuperating and building up strength to start life as she had known it again. It was during this time that we saw in Mom a submissiveness to where the Lord was leading, even when it meant she was no longer allowed to drive. Her independence in coming and going as she went on her errands and visits was removed. And yet, by God's kind grace, He gave her a willingness to give that over and become totally dependent on those around her. It wasn't very much longer after this that the doctor shared with her that she had the beginning of Alzheimer's disease, as well as congestive heart failure that was lurking in the background. It was a time of giving even more over, as she came to grips with the knowledge that this new pathway was not going to be easy. When medically she was not able to live in her suite anymore at Clarence and Marie's home, Mom moved into Bradley Center and spent the last 2 years living in her little corner with of the four-bed ward. The walls were covered in pictures of those she loved. There were the times when Mom didn't seem to respond too much, and there were the times when she fully knew your name and remembered things from the past. As the months continued on, we saw the Alzheimer's and the congestive heart failure begin to have affect her more and more. We saw her suffering, but also saw how God still provided for her in every way. And when it was His time, He would take her home. But until then, her life still had so much meaning to those who loved her. And loved her they did, from the friends and the family who came to visit her there, the nurses who cared for her, and the roommates who got to know the lady with a pretty smile. Although we cannot express our pain and sorrow at Mom's departure, we could not wish our mother back to this, to the life she was called to live, especially in the last years. By God's rich grace, He has prepared a home for her with Him in glory, and that gives such immense comfort. We began with saying that mothers hold a very special place in our lives. We thank the Lord for providing such a mother for us. During these last months, when we would read her beloved Psalm 23 in Dutch to her, it would seem that she wasn't able to follow what was being said. But when we would say, "De Heer is mijn," and wait for her to fill her the next word, she often would say without any more prompting, "Heather." And we knew that this gracious, all-providing shepherd is the one she has gone home to be with forever. Thank you. Also at this time, we would like to mention our gratitude to some people who have been part of Mom's life and to others who have been there for the family in this time of grieving. We would like to say a sincere thank you to the staff of Woodlawn Mount Shem Funeral Home in helping us with the services and all that was necessary. Your compassion and empathy has been evident, and we appreciate your care for the family during this difficult time. The staff at Bradley Center, we realize that many people cross your path during their years in your ward, but in caring for Mom, we so often felt your growing affection for her and your loving and gentle concern for whatever was going on in her life. We have come to know many of you personally and have been blessed by being able to work together with you for mom's well-being and care. Thank you for being compassionate and for the love also shown toward mom and all of us in her passing. You are no longer just the staff at Bradley, but you've become friends. The roommates and friends of mom in Bradley Center, among them Maria, Helen, Judy, Betty, and many more. You cared about mom and grew to love her and know her in her time among you. Although you could not know everything about mom's life and who she was, you took the time and interest in getting to know her and being encouraging and loving to her as your roommate. We know from your own expressions of grief that mom held a special place in your heart and that you will miss her. Thank you for all your care and love for our mother. And friends who were there for mom, for the visits you made to be with her, and for the love you showed her, both in the previous years of her life, when she still had dad in her life, to the lonely years of her widowhood, to the difficult and often pain-filled time in Bradley Center. Thank you for taking the time to be a friend to mom. It warms our heart to know that she was loved and valued. Pastor Koopman, we want you to know that we appreciate your pastoral care for mom, how she loved being in church, listening to the word, singing to the praise of God, and having fellowship with the Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. When she could no longer attend church, you were still there for her, and even in the hours before she passed into glory, you were there, reading God's word to her, and sharing his promises also from Psalm 23 and praying for her. Thank you for your pastoral care, also for our family during this time. Family and friends in Holland, though you could not provide love and care to mom personally here in Canada, we thank you for being an encouragement to mom and our family from far away. Phone calls and interest in mom and those who were involved in her care have been very special to us. You knew mom from long ago, and though many of you haven't seen her for many long years, yet you were thoughtful and loving. Thank you for the times when you were able to be here in Canada, and when you showed our mother how much she meant to you. Thank you for being dear to us as family and friends. And then a special thank you to our dear sister Marie. As a daughter, you honored mom with your ability to care for her daily. From the time that our parents lived in the basement suite, which was lovingly made available by Clarence and Marie, through the years of mom's widowhood, then through the heart attack, and subsequent move to Bradley Center, when it became apparent mom needed Bradley Center to be her home. Marie, you freely gave of your time and care in so many ways for a dear mother. We are aware of the times when you exhausted in a constant living alongside of mom, during the days of grieving, during the pain of the heart attack and recuperation, during the downward spiral of seeing mom develop Alzheimer's, and then during the long months of going so many, many times to Bradley Center to take care personally for mom as a daughter can do. We know you did what you did in the strength of the Lord, and that you felt it was your calling. And we, as your brothers, as your family, want to express our heartfelt thankfulness for being there for mom. We know mom benefited from your being an advocate for her, whether it was during the doctor visit or whether it was concerning her care and medicine in the home. Thank you for honoring our mother in the way that you have done. And we pray that the Heavenly Shepherd will also give you grace as you rest from this task that has been completed. And all those who have helped in this time of grief for our family, we appreciate you. Those who have prepared food for refreshments, the organist, and the people who set up the church for this time together, and all those who have been a source of help and strength to us as family. You are deeply appreciated. We thank you from our heart. In closing, as Mom would have expected us to do, we turn our focus back to the one who gave her life so many long years ago, who sustained her during that life, provided his gracious forgiveness to her, and then, after gently holding her through these last pain-filled times, has taken her up into his glorious home forever. Yes, indeed, what a joy to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Thank you.
Let us turn to our programs and sing. Let's do so. I'm not sure what it says in your program, but let us stand and sing, "Abide with Me, Abide with Me." Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we have come to the ending of this funeral service, and we have heard from your precious word. And may that word resonate in our own hearts, that we would find all that we need also on this day in the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for the gospel, the promises of the gospel, the hope we might have in our Lord Jesus in situations such as these, and how gracious you have been towards us in that we can still meet together and reflect upon these glorious truths. Bless the food which is provided for us. We're thankful for the loving hands which has prepared it for us, but we also pray that you'll nourish our bodies with it. And in that, we are reminded too that we continue on here below. While our loved one has gone to be with you, that we here yet have a task to do. You have given us a task in this life also for each of us in our particular calling. And bless us further as we go from here. Strengthen us in the days and weeks and months to come, that we would continually find our only comfort in the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us sing in conclusion, By the Sea of Crystal, and that will be the conclusion of this service, after which the family will first exit the sanctuary, and then you may all join us for refreshments, actually for a light luncheon in the fellowship hall immediately behind the sanctuary here. Let us sing By the Sea of Crystal.